This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You will not hear from Newell until Monday. This is Don Dubuque. I'll be in for the rest of this hour. Then again tomorrow from 10 to 1. We got some great football topics to talk about tomorrow. Hope you'll join us then and participate in the program as always. To do that, you can call us at 504-260-1870 if you'd like to speak with our guest. If you prefer to shoot them a message, send it to me and I'll relay it along. That text message board is 870-870. This hour, we're going to talk about a topic that in all my years of doing radio and especially on the fill-in slots, this topic got more attention than maybe anything else I've ever done. It is a fascinating subject. It's not an easy subject to comprehend. It's very complicated. There's a lot of angles to it and a lot of, some of it requires faith and trust, and other, there's a lot of evidence that points in certain directions. But what I'm talking about is a book called Dr. Mary's Monkey that started all of this, and it's how the unsolved murder of a doctor, a secret laboratory in New Orleans, and cancer-causing monkey viruses are linked to Lee Harvey Oswald, the JFK assassination, and emerging global epidemics. And that may sound like a far-fetched science fiction movie introduction, but believe me, this book, if you read it, is well documented. The footnotes are incredible. There are a lot of sources. There's a lot of photographs. And the author of that book joins us now, as he has in the past, Edward Haslam. Ed, thanks for being with us.
Great to be back.
Ed, I'm thinking back when I saw you were coming to town. I thought back to that first, I guess it was the first public appearance you made. You went to the bookstore for the book, but when you went to the Jefferson Parish Public Library and we, after you were on the show, and the parish fire marshal came out there and shut the doors down because it was overfilling with so many people out there, that was an incredible turnout, and I think that demonstrates the tremendous amount of interest in the topic which you've dedicated a large portion of your life to.
Yes, and for those who missed that presentation, it's on YouTube. I don't know the exact address, but if you just Google, Haslam Jefferson Parish Library or whatever, it'll pop up, because there were a lot of people who were there and didn't get in. There were 200 people outside that the fire marshal wouldn't let in, and other people who just complained that they couldn't even get a parking spot, so the whole presentation's on YouTube.
Ed, you're coming to New Orleans to celebrate Lee Harvey Oswald's 80th birthday, which is October the 18th, later this month. Why are you doing this?
Well, Lee Oswald is an important figure in U.S. history, and he should not be forgotten. He was, of course, accused of assassinating President Kennedy and then himself murdered on television before he could defend himself. So there's a lot of questions about Lee Oswald. Whether you think Lee Oswald actually killed JFK or whether you think he was framed as a patsy in a coup d'etat, a bigger plot, he is, either way, one of the most important figures ever to emerge from New Orleans. And personally, I don't think he killed JFK or Officer Tippit, and that he was framed by the powers that be. I could name names if you wanted to get into it, but I think he was framed.
I agree with you totally. And, unfortunately, Lee Oswald has been blamed and been hated for decades. And I think people who would take the time to read your book, read Judy's books, and really study this thing would have a difference of opinion, or at least there'd be quite a amount of doubt if they didn't buy into it like we do. Your book, the first one, Dr. Mary's Monkey, is about the murder of Dr. Mary Sherman, and that happened here in New Orleans in 1964. It seems like almost a quantum leap, but if you can, tell us how that tied to the JFK assassination and Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, Don, I'm from New Orleans, and I grew up there, and I heard a lot of rumors about the connection between Lee Oswald and Mary Sherman when I was growing up, but I thought they were all red herrings to try to keep people from looking into Mary Sherman's murder. I thought there was something worse than killing the president going on there. And so my research into the Mary Sherman murder led me to many things, including an interview with the Orleans Parish District Attorney Jim Garrison, in which he made the connection between Mary Sherman and David Ferry, who's, you know, featured in the Oliver Stone movie. You know, other research that I did pointed to a connection between David Ferry and Lee Harvey Oswald. So I became suspicious that there might be a real connection, but I didn't have a witness yet. And then 60 Minutes, the CBS news show, contacted me and introduced me to Judith Ferry Baker, and she convinced me that she and Lee Oswald were working with Mary Sherman and Dr. Ochsner, for that matter, on a bioweapon to kill Fidel Castro. And so I took Judy's story to my publisher and asked him to print it, and he said he would if I edited it, which I did, which got me up to my eyeballs in the story. And Judy's book, Me and Lee, How I Came to Know, Love, and Lose Lee Harvey Oswald, is a result of that. It's primarily about the 5 months that Judy spent in New Orleans with Lee Oswald at her elbow in 1963. So I fell down the Lee Harvey Oswald rabbit hole, and ultimately that led me to the JFK assassination.
And how deep was the connection between Oswald and this city of New Orleans?
Well, Oswald is from New Orleans. He was born here in 1939 at the old French hospital over on the Treme side of Orleans Avenue. He grew up down in the Ninth Ward, which is now referred to as the Bywater. And as a kid, you know, he had beignets at morning call. He fed the ducks in City Park. He went to the Audubon Zoo. He rolled down Monkey Hill. As a teenager, he went to Warren Eastern High School on Canal Street, and he lived on Exchange Place on the French Quarter side of Canal Street. And during that time, he worked in Carlos Marcello's restaurants in the French Quarter under his Uncle Dutz's supervision. So after returning from the Marine Corps in Russia, he returns to New Orleans in April of 63 and moves uptown to an apartment at on Magazine Street, 4905 Magazine, near Audubon Park. In May, he gets a job at the Riley Coffee Company and rides the Magazine Street bus to and from work each day with Judith Ferry Baker, the author of Me and Lee. Then he becomes involved with a lot of stuff down on around Lafayette Square, right near where you're sitting now in WWL Radio. And in August, he gets photographed handing out Fair Play for Cuba flyers outside the Trademark by WDSU-TV and is interviewed by WDSU Radio several times. So, and for a more detailed explanation of what Oswald did in New Orleans in that summer, Don, you remember back in 2016, you and I did a conference out in Jefferson Parish, and I did a presentation about Oswald and built a timeline with all these graphics and everything else. And if anybody wants to see that, they can just Google YouTube Oswald Conference 2016, and my presentation will come up, and you get to see all the detail that we don't have time to get into here if it interests you. And by the way, that presentation was in the Harry Lee room.
Yeah, he had a connection to Harry Lee, didn't he?
Yeah, Lee knew Harry Lee well when they were like teenagers. And, you know, Harry was involved in the Chinese restaurants, and Lee was involved with the Carlos Marcello restaurants, and they knew each other from there. And Harry Lee invited Lee Oswald and Judith out to the house of Lee when it opened for a free dinner because they were such good friends. And so if your listeners want something to do when Newell comes back, they can call in and ask Newell if Harry Lee ever told him he knew Lee Oswald.
He might have. And you know, there's also, it seems like every time we get you on the radio, you make an appearance, there's some new information that comes out. And I can't tell you how many people on a weekly basis contact me and say, what's going on with Ed Haslam and Judy Vary Baker? Anything new developing? Is there anything new since the last time you've been here?
Well, I don't want to say no, because there's always stuff shifting around. And, you know, the big thing is that you know, Lee's been gone for a long time. He didn't get a chance to live his life. And now it's his 80th birthday. I'm getting up there in age. Judy's getting up there in age. We can't do this forever. So this is kind of our swan song appearance on this subject. You know, I'm not to say that if I don't discover something big, I won't give you a call. But the, you know, we have done what we can do. And what we're doing at this time, by the way, is we're having a party in New Orleans, right? So we're going to have a luncheon, and this is a private luncheon. But here's the kicker on it: the luncheon's being held at a restaurant called Pesh, which is actually in a building that used to be owned by the Riley Coffee Company, and Lee Oswald worked in that same building.
Well, he didn't work. He was employed there, but he didn't work, actually. And there's documentation of his time stubs because Judy kept him.
Yes. Well, Judy didn't keep him, but the Warren Commission had him but didn't publish him because they didn't want people to realize that what was going on with Lee, and it was that ex-FBI guy who was approving his time cards. So when the FBI came around, they didn't get much of a story out of him. Mm. But and then we're going to have some, again, in the great New Orleans tradition, we're going to have a couple of events that are free and open to the public. One is going to be on Friday, October 18th. That's Lee's actual birthday. And at a bar on Magazine Street that was Lee's favorite bar. It's about a block from where he lived up there. And it's on 4801 Magazine. It's called Le Bon Temps Roulet, you know, like Laissez Le Bon Temps Roulet. And Judy's going to be there. I'm going to be there. We're going to have cakes and other people, you know, we got a crowd of people in New Orleans kind of around us at this point who like to show their support and come out. And then on Saturday, we're going to have a book signing out at Barnes & Noble on Vets. And that's Saturday, October 19th at 2 p.m. It'll be 2 to 4 p.m. I'm going to be there talking about Dr. Mary's Monkey. Judy's going to be there talking about me and Lee and her other books on David Ferry and Kennedy and Lee. And that is free and open to the public also. So that's kind of what the news is here today.
Well, I've got it on my calendar to make it a point to stop by and say hello to you and Judy. Ed, I got to ask you, you two, and you deserve it, to kind of getting out of the limelight and into retirement as far as this whole topic. But do you have some youth involved, someone that's going to pick up that torch and keep going? Because this is such an important issue for a number of reasons to continue to research.
Well, I have made the effort to recruit several people who were reporters in the media who were younger and give them the books and give them access to me and do some backgrounds on it in order to try to keep it available and going. One of the big things we did is, you know, I edited Judy's book, Me and Lee, and one of my thoughts as I was editing it was I was not writing this book for JFK researchers in the United States today. I was writing it for women who wanted to know what happened to Judy, mm-hmm. okay? Because the women have the babies and they tell the kids, and, you know, like they said in the JFK movie, you know, this Louisiana boss, you know who your daddy is because your mama told you. You know, the messages come down from the women. So I made the explicit decision to edit Judy's book in a way that brought forward the romance that needed to be brought forward and made it interesting to women so that they could I wanted the same people that read those silly books about the vampires to read these books and learn something, you
exactly.
know? And so that was my big thrust on that.
Ed, hold on. We're going to take a break. We come back. The text line is loading up as usual. We got Chris and Jack and Blaze all on the phone. Want to chat with you? We're talking with Ed Haslam. He's the author of the excellent book Dr. Mary's Monkey: How the Unsolved Murder of a Doctor, a Secret Lab in New Orleans, and Cancer-Causing Monkey Viruses Linked to Lee Harvey Oswald, the JFK Assassination, and Emerging Global Epidemics. He and Judith Vary Baker, Lee Harvey Oswald's lover here in New Orleans, will be back in New Orleans to celebrate his birthday and also do a book signing coming up in a week or so. We'll be right back after this. And we're talking with Ed Haslam, the author of the book Dr. Mary's Monkey. He and Judy Vary Baker will be here in New Orleans a week from tomorrow, October 18th, from 7 to 9. They'll be celebrating Lee Harvey Oswald's 80th birthday at Le Bon Temps Roulet at 4801 Magazine Street from 7 till 9. And then the next day, Saturday, from 2 to 4, a book signing at Barnes & Noble in Metairie on Veterans Boulevard. Let's go to our live line. We have Jack calling, and this is an old high school buddy of yours, Ed. Hey, Jack, you're on with Ed Haslam.
Hey, Eddie, how you doing, man? Old NOA, huh?
Is this Jack Faulkner?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Jack.
How you been, man?
I'm good.
You know, every summer we go to Florida, and I always bring your book, and actually I read it every summer, and a little bit pokes out every time. And it brought back such memories to me because I used to have a paper route in what it used to be Public Health Hospital, which is where this lab was, for the lack of a better word.
Particle accelerator, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I can remember dropping off three newspapers to two guards that were always on duty out front of that building. I could never go up the drive. I'd just drop the papers off. I assume they'd bring them inside. But it was a very, very interesting time. And then as I got older and I went to work for my dad in the marine brokerage business, our office was in the International Trademark Building. And Dr. Ferry would be in there all the time. Well, my dad would always say, you know, kind of a strange fella, which he was. He looked like a bum, actually. And he and what's the guy that the Garrison went after?
Clay Shaw. You know,
Clay Shaw, yeah. They shared an office in the ITM building. And everything was always wrapped in secrecy around those guys. You know, and my dad had his own theories, and probably half of them were right. But it's a great book. I mean, and Judy's book was I actually had her in town a couple of years ago, and I met her at one of the restaurants on Superior Seafood. So I plan on coming out to see you next week at bookstore. So
that'll be great. And about your comments, you know, Jim Garrison used to say there's always somebody sitting around underneath an oak tree. And the fact that you would see Ferry and Shaw coming in and out of the ITM on a regular basis is another person sitting underneath the oak tree who saw the real stuff going on. And New Orleans, one of the great things about it is it's so many small towns all in the same place, you know, and everybody keeps crossing paths with everybody else. And so every time I talk in New Orleans, I find somebody else. I mean, one says, oh, I live next door to Oswald, and somebody else tells me something else. And it's an amazing labyrinth. And speaking of seafood, I haven't seen you since I was a waiter at Swanson's Restaurant. So you come on
That's
out.
Right. I know we talked on the phone once before, but other than that, I haven't seen you. I'm the rush.
Yeah, yeah. You told me about the sister ships that your father told you to stay away from because they were bringing in the weapons or something, right?
Right. Oh, that goes back to the Central Gulf days. You know, Central Gulf didn't have regular stevedores unload and load their ships. They were always docked at the foot of either Napoleon or Louisiana. I can't remember. Always did nighttime loadings and discharges. It was very, very strange. There was a fellow that used to own a boat that would supply water to the ship, and that was the only job he had, was to bring water to the ship.
Well, Jack, you're one of the few people that I know that have spent their professional career on the Mississippi River because of your father's tugboat business, and you are really qualified to talk about this in a way that a lot of other people aren't. So I'm glad you're speaking up about it.
Hey, Jack, hope I get to see you there at the book signing, and thanks for your call.
I plan on being there. I go to the law bon ton, but I don't drive too well at night. I'm his age.
You got to be careful. Said,
Eddie, we're getting a little long in the tooth. All right, talk to you later.
Thanks, Jack.
See you, Jack.
All right, let's move on to Chris. He's got a question for Ed about the Oswald connection. Chris, you're on with Ed Haslam.
Hey, Ed, I got a question. Did you mention that Lee Harvey, his uncle was Dutch Murat?
I'm sorry, repeat that, please.
You made a comment that Dutch Murat's nephew was Lee Harvey Oswald, correct?
That is correct.
Wasn't Dutch Murat a numbers runner for the Marcello organization?
He was like Carlos Marcello's oldest friend and worked with him on the docks and came up with him. And he was married to Lee Oswald's mother's sister. Okay, and they lived in Lakeview on Frenchman Street right there. And Murat's son, John Murat, became a Jesuit priest. And it was John Murat that invited Lee Oswald to go to Mobile and talk to the Jesuits about life in Russia. Okay, so they knew each other, John Murat and Lee Oswald knew each other from being kids because Lee lived with the Murats for a number of years, and Lee used the Murats as references on his job applications and stuff. And so they were very close. And then the other guy that comes into the conversation is Paul Piazza, who was my English teacher, a Jesuit, when I was in 10th grade, because the Piazzas own Piazza Seafood that supplied all the seafood to the Marcello restaurants. And when it came time for the Jesuit, Paul Piazza was a Jesuit too. I mean, that's why he was my teacher when I was a Jesuit, right? So when it came time for the Jesuits to invite Lee Oswald to come to Mobile and talk to the Jesuits about life in Russia, it's Paul Piazza who writes the letter to him because he was asked to do that by John Murat.
I just don't, I've read a lot about what happened with the Kennedy assassination, and I just don't recall, I don't remember a lot of people talking about that connection between Marcello and Lee Harvey.
Well, that's because they don't know about New Orleans, all right? If you think this whole thing happens in Dallas, then and you don't know about New Orleans, then you're not going to get those kind of connections. If you read Me and Lee, Judy says that she and David Lewis and Anna Lewis and Lee went to the 500 Club and personally met with Carlos Marcello.
That seems like it's a pretty serious piece of information.
Yes, that's why I put it in the book. I think it's really, really important.
All right, guys, we got to take a break here. When we come back, thanks, Chris, for the call. We got Charlie on the line. I got a bunch of text messages for Ed. Ed, I've got a 35-year-old wants to pass along his email because he might want to pick up that torch and continue on. He's fascinated with your work and wants to get involved. So we'll give that to you, and we'll be right back after this timeout. And we're back with Ed Haslam, the author of the book Dr. Mary's Monkey, checking on our Blue Runner opinion poll. We're asking a pretty simple question. Did Lee Harvey Oswald assassinate President John F. Kennedy? 41% say no, 34 yes, and 25 is a maybe. I guess they don't know. Ed, and I want to remind you, Jan Pearson, we want to congratulate her. She is the winner of the Saints ticket and the VIP package. Congratulations, Jan. Hope you enjoy it. Ed, we got a lot of text in, comments about your book, Dr. Mary's Monkey, amazing book. We have one that says, looking at my copy as we speak, thanks for all your hard work. Awesome interview, Ed. And then we get these. Why would anyone celebrate the birthday of Lee Oswald? What other murderer will they celebrate? Charles Manson, please. Ed, I know you get a lot of that. And, I was one of those believers in the government reports and what the press was putting out back in those days. But, now in light of what we see as far as all the shenanigans in politics and, the stuff that goes on weaponizing federal agencies and the things that we know nothing about that goes on in government, I think it's easier to believe what went on back then than ever. What do you tell those people when you hear from them? I know you do.
Well, a lot of them don't communicate with me, frankly. There's a couple of points there. The government said Oswald did it, and some people feel it is their duty as a citizen to believe whatever the government says. Okay? You get about 32% is the number that I hear all the time that believes all kind of malarkey. Now, you look into the actual Oswald situation, and first we begin with everyone's innocent until proven guilty, and he never even got into a courtroom, okay? Secondly, the investigation into Lee Oswald was 1.5 hours long and done by J. Edgar Hoover personally, who prohibited his agents from bringing any evidence to the contrary forward after that. And I know that because I know some of those agents. Okay? Then there's a phone call between J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Johnson where Lyndon Johnson says, I will put together a blue ribbon commission to accept your report. Okay? So the whole Warren Commission was a junta set up by LBJ to accept J. Edgar Hoover's hour-and-a-half-long investigation that Lee Oswald acted alone and did it. Now, why did they want that? Because there was a coup d'etat, and it involved the most powerful people in this country, and J. Edgar Hoover was the guy whose job it was to prevent it. Not prevent the assassination, but to frame Oswald so that they wouldn't find out who was really behind the thing. Oswald was a spy who was working for the Kennedy brothers and had infiltrated the plot to kill the Kennedy and was blowing the whistle on it, and he was framed to shut him up because if he said it, Bobby Kennedy, who he was working for, couldn't come forward and said, Lee's cool, he's working for me. All right? This whole thing was a legerdemain, and the media was part of it. And if you don't have to agree with me, and there's no rule about that. It's just I've been looking at this for 25 years, and I don't think Oswald killed anybody, and particularly Tippit was shot with a semi-automatic, and Oswald was arrested with a revolver. I mean, you know, there's lots of problems with this thing. Oswald was actually already in the Texas theater at the time that Tippit was shot. I mean, there's all kind of stuff. Oswald was a spy who lost his life because he stayed in position, and he warned Kennedy about the hit in Chicago 2 weeks beforehand, and they canceled Kennedy's trip. So Jack Kennedy lived 2 more weeks because of Lee Oswald, and Lee Oswald lost his life because of it.
All right, let's go to Cynthia on line one. Cynthia, thanks for your call. You're on with Ed Haslam.
Hello.
Hey, Cynthia.
Hi. I just wanted to congratulate Mr. Haslam on an excellent book. I read it years ago, and I have recommended it to many, many people. One person that I did recommend it to had a wonderful idea that I'd like to share, as well as to the gentleman who said he brings it every year to Florida with him, is to journal when they're reading your book, because you give so much information, but you also give addresses. And this friend of mine actually journal the addresses and who lived there or who worked there, and then took a tour around the city to actually look at those places, which I thought was an excellent idea, and I plan to do that as well. So I just wanted to offer that little tidbit of information.
Yeah, good. Just so I've said it, I do have a website called drmarysmonkey.com, but you spell out the word doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R. And on that website, I did the same thing. I made a list of all of the addresses. And so I got the uptown addresses, the downtown addresses, you know, and have grouped them by areas of town. And so it's the, you know, it's the Dr. Mary's Monkey tour where all these things are. So I agree with you so much. I've already done it. And I'm happy to tell everybody that all they have to do is go to my website. Oh, by the way, on my website is that Jefferson Parish thing that Don was talking about earlier. That's a link to that is on there, too. But I got 15 hours of videos and the tour and all that. So thank you very much, Cynthia. I appreciate your comments.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Wonderful.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we come back. We'll wrap it up with Ed Haslam. Got a lot of text messages. Don't forget to cast your vote on our Blue Runner opinion poll. Did Lee Harvey Oswald assassinate assassinate President John F. Kennedy. And I don't know, I think it's well worth the reading of these books and doing some extra research, and a lot of people in this country would change their opinion if they had that information on hand. We'll be right back after this. All right, coming back, Ed, we got Charlie's been on hold for a while, and he's got a question I've asked you before. We're going to let him ask it. Charlie, you're on with Ed Haslam.
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
I'm good, Charlie. How are you?
By the way, I'm fine. I went to Tulane the same time you did, but I was in engineering. So that's our connection. But, yeah, I always wondered. I think I asked you at one of the book signings, did you ever talk to Oliver Stone or somebody would follow on? Because in that movie, when you listen to the director's cut, he does talk about the lovers there in Clinton, Louisiana, meeting.
I contacted Oliver Stone a long time ago, and I had a friend who was a producer who worked with him, talked to him, and I had personally spoken to his son. And the bottom line is this: Oliver does not want to do a sequel to the JFK movie. And every time he looked at Dr. Mary's Monkey, he interpreted it as a sequel to the JFK movie. So it's going to be somebody else that does it. I'm looking forward. You know, there's all these things with Netflix and all these the Amazon video services and all these things producing their own series now. I'm hoping that one of them will pick up Dr. Mary's Monkey one of these days, because it would make a heck of a series.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. It's got to happen. Charlie, thank you for your call. Maybe have time for one more call. Let's go to Roland on line one. Hey, Roland, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Hello, Ed. I met you at the library in Mattery one year. I'm the guy that gave you the DVD with the audio tape of Hoover talking to Johnson and Johnson talking to Hoover. And I had told you about it, and you asked me a question. Is that for me? And I said, yes, sir, and I gave it to you. I read your book. I read Julie's book. And I believe, both of y'all, that Oswald never fired a shot. And I'd like to say, after I read your two books, I was hooked. And I went on to read 20-plus books after that in a row on that subject. And out of the 20-plus books I read, I found four. You know, including your book and Julie's book, four that I believe bring that whole story together. And you probably heard of the other two. One of them is by Chauncey Holt, Scoundrel. And then the other one is by L. Fletcher Prouty.
They're both great books.
Yeah, Chauncey Holt, quite a character. Ed, one more time, when will you be here and where?
I'm going to be on Friday night at Le Bon Temps Roulé on Magazine Street from 7 to 9, and then at Barnes & Noble on Vets at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday the 19th.
Very good. I'll look for you then, Ed. Always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Don.
All right, Ed Haslam. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me. I'll be back again tomorrow at 10 to 1, filling in for Newell Norman, and then I'll be back on Saturday morning from 5 to 7. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.